Five on in.
Yeah, we can just get it done. I guess real quick, welcome everybody to the Free Chana Pod. It is it's been about a few hours since we recorded last. We've been recording so much, man, with all this stuff, but let's not bury the lead. We got Seth back with us. Welcome, my friend. It's been too long, man. It's like,
I know it. It's been about 15 years since the last time we spoke, and or at least it feels like 15 years. I think it was back, I don't know, May.
Exactly. And I mean, especially now, because you guys still haven't figured out that you need to get rid of that nonsensical daylight savings time. Now the time difference is even bigger than it normally is.
I know it, man. And like, I think at this point, like the only people that give a shit about daylight savings time is like phone companies, because that's all, like, no one even knows it's fucking daylight savings time until their phone changes or whatever,
right? So, yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, this is how little I fucking pay attention to my world around me. Like, it'll be a couple days and then I'll just notice that, like, my car, my microwave, you know, my oven, all those clocks are off, and I'm like, oh shit,
yeah.
I gotta match everything to my phone now.
Yeah, you know, just give you one more thing to do. It's always
either lost or gained an hour. I don't care enough to look it up.
I just always remember spring forward and fall back, but I haven't had to do it for 5 years now, so I always forget when it is. It's just everyone's like, oh, fucking daylight savings time. I'm like, oh man, I'm so glad we don't have to deal with that here.
God, I know. Like, I get it in theory, but also, fuck the theory. Like, it's dumb.
I was talking with someone about it the other day because they didn't really understand it. And I was like, it did make sense at the beginning, like with like farmers and stuff. But every farmer has a fucking GPS tracked auto combine that does everything for them. So it's like, it's completely useless now.
Yeah, exactly. It's just more dead people's baggage that we hang on to.
That's right. Just put on my tinfoil.
We don't like letting go of shit. We don't. We like to hang on to archaic, asinine things that make no sense, but they make us feel good.
It's tradition, right? Stuff, yeah.
Tradition.
It's that kind of stuff makes people happy. It makes them feel good. It is what it is. So, I mean, let's get into it, man. What are your thoughts on election? How's America doing with coronavirus? There's so much stuff that I need to ask you about. We haven't had an American guest in America on for a little while.
I know. I feel disconnected from everything. I've kind of a little bit. Well, here's what I'll say. I want to say I've like kind of decoupled my life from, like, you know, the political world and current affairs and everything. Mm-hmm. But what I really mean by that is, like, I still consume just as much media. I'm still on Twitter all fucking day.
Yeah.
It's just that I stopped having opinions about it because I just don't have the energy to, like, fucking be in that space and like, you know, participate.
Yeah.
You know, like, sometimes it's just, you just gotta take a little leave of absence, you know, for your own. And I mean, take a leave of absence. Like, I'm actually fucking doing anything, or most of us are actually doing anything. I mean, you guys are doing, you know, actually, you know, you've got a podcast and a media outlet and everything, but most of us are just, you know, fucking doom scrolling on Twitter with our dick in our hand, you know, thinking that we're a part of something. So I haven't missed it, and I doubt it's missed me, but, In other news, Joseph shoot him in the legs, Biden, and Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
Be our new mommy and daddy.
That's good.
And
everyone can go back to sleep for another 4 years, and then we'll get a worse version of Trump.
That's what I'm doing. I got brunch plans for later today. I'm going to go out and we're gonna eat some avocado toast and mimosas and learn to code. That's right. What our brunch plans are.
Hell yeah. Become middle manager somewhere. I mean, we all know
that's what I'm saying.
Tech's gonna save the world, right? That's the answer to everything, right?
Just yes.
A fucking world
full of... It's gonna save the world. It's going to save the world in the same way that U.S. imperialism saves the global South. Just a little, like, white savior complex, except it's, like,
pretty well
Skynet savior complex.
Well, we'll have technology for that kind of stuff soon. Hopefully, we'll be able to replace, you know, some of the well-unioned police jobs with RoboCops, so we don't have to pay them anymore.
Cool.
And they can, we can say that they're, trained well. They're programmed,
man,
right?
Man, we pretty much already have robotic cops, RoboCops.
Not wrong.
They're just in flesh skins.
Yeah, exactly. They're just meaty, red-faced, hot dog-necked robots with fucking Oakley tan lines on them.
Yeah, it's all the same. Six and half a dozen. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of crazy, man, because the difference, and this is not to like say that Taiwanese cops are wonderful, but it is interesting seeing the difference here. Like, I don't ever see undercover cops here, and I'm sure they have, like plainclothes police officers at certain times, but I never see unmarked police cars. And if a police car is on duty in Taiwan, it actually has to have the lights on at all times.
Really?
Yeah, so the first couple times I saw one in the back of my mirror, I pulled over, and they just passed me. And I was like, what the fuck? Because they won't put the siren on unless they're pulling you over. I'm sure because I won the fucking genetic lottery and have, white skin, and I'm a man, cisgendered man, like, they kind of give us the benefit of the doubt, also because sometimes they don't think you speak any Mandarin, so you can get away with a lot of shit. You just be like, I didn't understand, I'm just a dumb foreigner, and they'll, kind of let you go. But Taiwanese people mostly say it's okay. I think I would like to get some Southeast Asian, there's a lot of Southeast Asian workers here, I would like to get their opinion on how the cops treat them, because I think that'd be interesting, but it is just the difference on how nice the cops are here compared to the terrible. And I didn't ever like get in a lot of trouble with the cops, but I would always get harassed, skateboarding and stuff. So it's just interesting to see the difference,
It would be really, interesting. I would love for you to do that too, because I want to know how Taiwanese people, view their relationship with their police. Because I wonder if it's like a relative thing, like just when you look at Taiwanese citizens and Taiwanese police interactions, it's just like objectively better, right? Yeah. But because they haven't experienced anything else, they're like, fuck the Taiwanese cops, But if they were to ever like meet an American cop, they would be like, who is this fucking like super soldier that's like yelling and screaming at me and kicking in my door?
Yeah, why does this guy have fucking military equipment on his person?
Yeah, or if it's like they actually realize, like, oh man, I'm glad that we don't have like American or like CCP, type stormtroopers. I really do think that. I don't want to like dive into the weeds like super deep already, but I really do think that like, the most important variable here. With regards to what we're talking about is like a society's relationship with the people that police them, right? Well, like whatever you want to call it, because it's not always historically been the police, and it doesn't always have to be the police. It's just because there are some societies that I think have a better understanding of these are the police officers. They're the whatever you want to, nomenclature you want to use in different places, the peace officers, the citizens, whatever. Yeah. These are the people that roam around and like protect us and make sure that we're all living in like a safe and peaceful society, right? Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, America has just lost the plot completely on what the police are actually supposed to do. Yeah. I have this radical idea, and I feel like I can't have this radical idea because I've went pretty far along the process to becoming a police officer, even like very recently. And I just don't subscribe to the idea that like if you're not a cop you can never criticize cops. If you're not a football player you can never criticize football players. Like that's just a dumb notion with like a hint of truth to it, but anyways. I forgot where I was going with this, but stick with me here, okay? being a police officer in America should be a more dangerous job than it is right now.
Yeah.
It should.
Yeah.
If police were policing the way that it was intended, like the same thing has been done with the president. Like the president, we've just completely like lost, you know, the forest to the trees of like what a president is and what public servants are. Like the president, like you work for us. That is our collective house. That is like, you know, we employ all of those people to like cook for you and whatever, but like you work for us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're our leader and we, you know, send you up there to like be king.
Same thing for all public servants. I mean, from, you know, dog catcher to the president.
Exactly. And I think that there's just a lost sense of like, I don't want to call it collectivism because I mean, sometimes that can have like negative connotations, but like it is just like the neoliberal, every man is an island, libertarian wet dream living in America. You know, we all are supposed to reap the benefits of living in a society as opposed to being thrown into the cruel indifference of the jungle, right? But we don't want any of the responsibility that goes along with that. We want all of the benefits without upholding our end of any parts of the social contract, right?
Yeah, and currently Americans are not getting many of the benefits that are supposed to come along with that either, including, you know, healthcare and things like that.
Exactly, because it's like, I really don't think, and here's why I have like a little bit of like sympathy and understanding for some people, because like, I can't blame people for not understanding in America how government can work for them or how government can be like a force for good, you know, because historically, especially over the past couple decades, like it just hasn't been, you know, like you can't blame people for, cause like not everybody lives and breathes this shit, you know, most people are doing other shit than trying to figure out how we're getting fucked, you know, and trying to figure out the ought to be's from the R's, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, when you look at just your average fucking Joe, right? And every year they see their taxes, you know, they get, you know, a $9,000, you know, net or a $9,000 gross paycheck, and then they take home like, you know, $5,800, you know, and then they don't have health care and the infrastructure is crumbling around them and their kids' school is fucking shitty, you know? Like you can't blame people for being like, man, I'm paying all these fucking taxes and I get nothing in return.
Yeah.
It's still just bootstrap mentality, you know, every man is an island, like I said. You know, in instead of like sustenance and providing, you know, life vitality, they just give you a copy of Atlas Shrugged, you know, say figure it out, champ. And people suck it up because we created this archetype in America of like the bootstraps, you know. So many people in America in their minds live in a cabin in the woods with their dogs and their guns, and they hunt elk and everything. But it's like, really, you're just a fucking like software developer that lives in the suburbs. And you use public transport to commute to Seattle every day. Like you, I don't know. It's just we have a really hard time disconnecting like what we how we envision ourselves as a country and as citizens of that country, in contrast to how we actually are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard, I think, for people to view themselves. You know, everyone wants to view themselves as American, but there's so much otherizing that says like, well, this person is not American, they're anti-American. And I mean, that's gotten exponentially worse, especially over the last decade or two. I mean, some of that started, you know, in the 80s and 90s. As it's interesting because we talk about a lot how the parties are so similar, and in a lot of ways they are, but there's small distinct ideologies, and most of this is on cultural or social issues. Are so different, even though the lines are not that far apart. And if you're not in the club, and you can see this a lot with like the cancel culture stuff, where there's just things that you can't talk about. And if you do so on the left or on the right, whatever their line is, if you cross it or even question it, then you're just shut down. And you can see this with a lot of institutions, but politics is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. One, how early it is really hitting me. Like, I can barely fucking talk as it is usually. And like, you think Joe Biden has a stutter problem, right? And oof. Yeah, it's rough. But fuck, train of thought. Yeah, I forgot what we were talking about again. But
yeah, just I don't know. Let's switch gears real quick, and we'll go where we're gonna go. This is a conversation. I don't care how off it gets or how, you know, trailing off into tangents we get. That's what this podcast is about, especially when we have guests on. How's coronavirus in the United States? Because I feel like I live in a separate world right here in Taiwan. Because just so everyone knows, we haven't had a local case in over 200 days here. We have 7 total deaths. So when I see this shit on, it's almost like watching a movie when I watch these other countries. So, I mean, how has it affected you, or how do you feel about it? How do you think, just what are your thoughts on coronavirus in the United States? Just take that big ass broad topic.
Well, I know it. And that's, man, I'm just going to, you know, nothing if not honest. Here's what I'll say. I have a feeling that generally speaking, people are to the point, like even people that, like, you know, the pot and pan bangers in the beginning, and the flatten the curve, stay inside and everything. Right. All of those people are now to the point where they're just completely exhausted and fed up. And they're like, fuck this. I haven't been on a date night with my husband or wife in, you know, months, almost a fucking year.
Yeah.
I haven't been inside at a restaurant in almost a fucking year. So what I mean is, like, I really think that people are getting fed up. And full disclosure, I met up with some people at a pizza place, you know, but I wore my mask, but I knew what I was doing. And it was just like, fuck this, man. Like, I know that it's bad and I don't want to get it. I don't want to get it and give it to anybody else, but like, you just can't. Here's what I'll say. Obviously, we've all heard the whole, like, the cure can't be worse than the disease, and it's fucking retarded and everything.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Because of our just absolutely abject failure to, like, mitigate this thing and, like, get it under control, we're in a situation now where, like, responsible people that really, truly care and, like, want to do the right thing, it's been, like I said, almost a year, you know, that we've been doing this, and, like, people can't keep that up forever. And what I mean is, like, I don't think that it's fair to, like, blame somebody for thinking, like, okay, the coronavirus is serious. If I get it, I'm probably going to be fine. You know, I'm going to do the right thing if I find out that I have it. And people, like, kind of making a value judgment of, like, do I risk this thing for the sake of, like, actually going out and talking to, you know, people and, like, being a social creature, it's really tough. I don't know. Yeah, I absolutely. Guess I'm just speaking mostly from my perspective. Just like, I'm just so fucking sick of this, dude. Like, I want to be able to fucking go to work and work construction and rod concrete and grind concrete without a fucking mask on my face, not being able to breathe. Like, it sucks, but, you know, I'm not one of those guys that pulls it down, you know, when I'm working, because I try to be responsible.
But
I'm just so fucking sick of everything about this. I'm just so fucking over it. I'm over it. And it's frustrating because, like, so many people are where I'm at. But I think that they have a hard time, like, really diving into, like, all the nuance about how to feel about it. And so they just, like, oh, it's not that big a deal. It's fake. It's whatever. Like, they go to, like, something to, like, kind of justify why they stopped caring about it. And yeah, I guess I'll just say that Americans don't really give a shit about COVID anymore. Yeah. Even in like, super liberal Washington, you know, there's people in, you know, restaurants, in bars, like, without masks and stuff now. Like, it's just, it's kind of devolved into, hey, come what may, you know?
Yeah, from an outside observer's perspective, it seems like, one, it's, like you said, it's the amount of time. It's almost been a fucking year, and they haven't got this under control. And if everyone would have followed, you know, smart countries like Taiwan's lead, or even, I mean, Japan, everyone wants to talk about Japan, but I always really encourage people to talk about Taiwan because we're doing a better job than Japan. It's just, you look at the numbers, it is. But I think,
yeah.
I think that's obviously a part of it. Like, you can't stay inside. People are social creatures. But I think also, kind of what you're talking about with, like, this, you know, these libertarian ideology and stuff where everyone wants to be free. I feel like we've had our freedoms in the United States, and this is someone who hasn't lived in the United States for 5 years, so take this as, I'm an outside observer. We've had our freedoms so whittled down, our choice, you know, what we get from the government so whittled down that, you know, making a political statement or expressing our freedom comes down to, you know, a fucking shit posting on Twitter or taking your mask off and screaming at a Walmart employee that gets paid fucking minimum wage. That's all that people can do to express their identity and you know, what they are as a person. And it's fucking sick. But that's kind of what the situation looks like.
Yeah, and you know what? And I don't mean to interrupt you if you were going
no,
off
no,
there.
No, go ahead.
But the thing that really gets me is, like, most Americans just completely warped view of, like, freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
And because it's like those types of people that you're talking about, you know, the mask mandates are oppression. You know, let me get a haircut, like those types and everything. Like, oh, dude, America's about freedom. Like, just, first of all, like, shut the fuck up. Like, you're stupid, and I hate you. Okay?
Yeah. Amen.
But second of all, it's like, man, like, read some Rawls, okay?
Mm.
Or even, like, I'm just saying, like, you don't understand what, like, true freedom and liberty is, okay?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the reason why I'm a socialist, because, okay, even if, like, you live in a completely stateless society, right? There's
yeah.
no governing force. Well, guess what? If you still have, like, some sort of capitalist economy, your livelihood, your survival is still intertwined with market forces, which means that and there's that hierarchical system of you know, employers and employees and owners, you know.
Yeah.
And so your life will be controlled, your life will be governed. I just want to have a say in who governs, who's steering the ship.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, Socrates might disagree with me, but right now, the more democracy, the better. It's just, in my opinion, I've really thought about this. It's like, you know, what's the most fair way to, like, you know, for a society to, like, navigate existence, right?
Yeah.
And in my mind, it's as much democracy as possible. Which is why, like, I'm so pro union, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, especially now, just, like, being a part of organized labor, like, being in a union, it is the most freeing thing ever. Like, because,
yeah.
unfortunately, like, my livelihood is still tied to the market because there's got to be work, right? Like,
right.
there's no, like, planning committee or public infrastructure,
yeah.
You know, to do in America. It's just building Amazon buildings and Google. So unfortunately that still is a thing, but outside of that, man, you are free to, you show, you know, they send you to go work for, you know, some company and the foreman, you know, is being a dick or whatever. You could be like, hey, fuck you, motherfucker. I'm out and leave.
Yeah.
And guess what? You go right back to work for someone else the next day.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to put up with shit. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. It's the
like
power
it's
the power of collectivism. I mean, and you know, like
exactly.
you said, we worry about that term, but yeah, you gotta push for it. I mean, and if you really think that there should be no regulation and we should be able to do whatever the fuck we want and the government should be completely out of it, then I would strongly suggest that you move to Libya. that would be a great place for you to go. You can buy and sell people there. You know, there's basically no government anymore since the U.S., you know, it basically just dismantled their government there, and their former leader was sodomized with fucking swords. Go ahead and go there. But if we're going to live in the real world, I mean, people have to wake up and collectivize, because I don't know if people know this. We should be, people talk about a living wage right now, which is, again, to my point about how our freedom has been so stripped away by the elite, both in and outside of government. Is we shouldn't be talking about a fucking living wage. We should be talking about a fucking thriving wage. The minimum wage, if raised for inflation and the increase in productivity, yeah, over $22. So get the fuck out of here about $15 an hour. Like, absolutely pass it. Like, and they have in a number of places. And the fact that a $15 minimum wage just passed in Florida and Joe Biden lost that state just shows how out of fucking touch these Democrats are. And people need to start screaming about it right fucking now, because Joe Biden is going to be our next president, but he is not going to represent the fucking will of the mass majority of people, because mass majority of people are in favor of legalizing and decriminalizing drugs, in favor of Medicare for all, in favor of at least a $15 minimum wage, and I can go on. So it's got to be collectivism inside the job and outside the job, pushing our government to actually fucking represent us, as opposed to just keep us under their thumb so they can make their rich donors richer.
Yeah, man, and it's really one of the most like disheartening things and frustrating things that I think I've seen, you know, over the past couple weeks, is seeing all these like across the country, seeing all these like ballot initiatives and all these like progressive policies winning, in all these different states, right? Like the war on drugs took a fucking beating. You know, this election
drugs won
cycle.
The war on like, drugs.
Exactly. they're up against the ropes and in Florida, some minimum wage, and then I'm sure you saw the list of like all the Democratic candidates that you know supported Medicare for all. Like all of them won the re-election. Yeah, all of them that were opposed to Medicare for all lost. So it's like, how long can the Democratic establishment keep turning a blind eye to the will of its base, and not even just its base, of Americans, marijuana legalization, Medicare for all, a lot of these things are bipartisan majority wins.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's like, how long can you continue to like convince people that you're their representative and you're advocating for what they want, when you're not listening to any of the things that they're demanding that they want, and you win the presidency, you know, through all the shell game of you know, backdoor, you know, meetings and stuff, and you trip over your own dick on the way to the White House on a platform that spits in the face of all these things that people are saying they want. And then, unfortunately, Trump is just so objectively terrible, and people in America are so,
I feel like
I don't want to sound pretentious or holier than thou, but like simple, that a lot of people, I really think that like they don't want a Joe Biden presidency, but because like all the media is just like, yeah, go Joe. Yeah. They like convince themselves that like, oh, you know, Biden Harris, that's the ticket. It's going to be great. And it's like, I don't know, man.
What are they what are they proposing, man? This is the thing. And also, real quick, I think that people, because we talk about messaging a lot on this podcast, because when you're talking about politics, it's all about messaging. I also think policy is more important than politics, but sometimes to get the policy, you have to do the politicking. Yeah. So I think that they're missing a huge opportunity. If you know, someone goes out there and goes, listen, over 50% of Republicans support Medicare for all. Why are you not passing it? You know, look at Mitch McConnell, look at, you know, these ghouls that have been here, and all they care about is, they haven't sent you a stimulus check, but they won't do that because they're also not interested in that, which is the very unfortunate thing. And so the thing is it's not going to get better. But I think also similarly to what you're saying about COVID and people just becoming tired, I think Trump wore people down. The Democrats just, They were ready. I mean, people were pretty ready for Bernie in 2020. And then you had shenanigans after Bernie won the first three primaries, the first three contests, I should say. And then you had Obama basically make some phone calls and people dropped out. Elizabeth Warren stays in. Then, you know, Bernie's in a bad position. I also think that Bernie shouldn't have dropped out, but it is what it is. But I think people are just worn down, and so they'll take anything. They're just ready to go back to the status quo. And I think the status quo is a very dangerous place. It's definitely so here in Taiwan, but I think it's also very dangerous. I mean, we got Trump because we were running status quo. So it's dangerous. People have to get away from status quo, and I get people are fucking fed up and tired, but you got to use that to push you to push for more as opposed to getting complacent.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've been really thinking about, and I've been trying not to because it's just so like earth-shatteringly depressing and ominous, is that when you look at like what's coming out of the Democratic Party right now, like why did we get Trump? Like eight years in the military, and then I was in the car business, and now I'm in construction.
Mm-hmm.
Like I talk to a lot of, you know, like right-wing Trump people.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, like, to the people that voted for Trump in 2016, like, and this is not like, you know, the typical, like, what's the matter with Kansas, like empathize, you know, hillbilly elegy type, but like, dude, like I get it. I really do. Cause like, go back and like watch a lot of his campaign speeches from 2016, like you can't really blame, like, or here's what I'll say. God, I like writing. I can just like get all the thoughts, you know, organized.
I know. I felt,
it's just a shotgun whenever I try to talk.
I hear you, buddy. I have the same problem.
Yeah. But so here's the thing. There are a lot of just like genuinely good-hearted people, like they are well-intentioned, good-hearted people that just don't have the time to learn about like misgendering somebody or you know, like South American politics. Like there's just a lot of people that are just living their life trying to be a good person, and they just haven't really come around to like I don't know, all that. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Being more aware. And there are plenty of people on the left, quote unquote left, that are also very, I mean, the amount of people I see standing for, you know, a Biden-Harris presidency shows me that there's a lot of people on the left that are very uninformed and don't understand the plight of rural people as well.
And here's I'm like side tangent here real quick. And I guess for like anonymity's sake, I'll try to leave out some details, but there is an older gentleman that I grew up with, kind of like tangentially became my family. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how he's probably 73, 74, you know, mm-hmm. he's a grandpa, and, he lives in Fall City, grew up in Fall City. And he's just like your literal typical, like, you know, Fall City grandpa.
Right.
Fall City, Nebraska, grandpa, for people that aren't catching my drift.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's never had anything to say other than like hilarious shit and football stories and talking about like wrenching on his cars and stuff. And, Trump won the presidency in 2016. And for the past 4 years, his Facebook, like, I've just seen this like amazing transition. Right. Mm. For like, it started out with like Trump memes, right? Like, cause Trump sucks and everything. And then he started posting like some shit about like indigenous people. And then he started posting some stuff, about like some LGBTQ and like trans rights stuff. And so he's just,
that's
like,
not how I expected this story to go.
I know it, but here's the hilarious thing. And it's funny because like I look on Facebook and sometimes I look through the comments and there's like all these other dumb Fall City people like, well, you know, insert name here, looks like you've lost your goddamn mind, you know, like commenting on this stuff.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't give a shit, you know.
Hell yeah.
Like, and but yeah, it's amazing to see that. And then the day that Fox News called it for Joe Biden, I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see that he posted something. Mm-hmm. And it was something like, how many short passes is this guy going to drop? Like, it was something like football thing. I'm like, right. He's back to it.
Yeah.
He just like Biden once, and now he's like, all right, you know, going back to it. But I said all that to make the point that, like, there's a guy that probably lived his whole entire life going to work, coming home, eating corn and mashed potatoes and steak, going to bed, waking up, rinse, wash, repeat, you know, his whole little falsity existence.
Yeah.
And then he's retired now, right? And the Trump presidency happens. And, like, for the first time in his life, he's got the fucking time to, like, yeah, learn about, like, you know, indigenous people's, you know, history and LGBTQ issues and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he's got the resources, too, with the internet, which he probably didn't have when he was younger.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, like, it's really interesting to see that, you know, like, it's all a choice, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if anybody – people are the way they are because that's how they feel, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway. And people, I mean, the education system, it just like our infrastructure is fucking crumbling. I mean, you alluded to it earlier. It's not in a good situation right now. And I know that pretty intimately as a person who was planning to be an educator in the U.S. and didn't do it because I wouldn't have been able to pay off my student loans until I was probably as old as that man. So it just wasn't feasible. And I was afraid that I would die, you know, of some disease because I wouldn't be able to pay for healthcare. Yeah, I think really if people really want to do this, you know, changing hearts and minds shit, you got to talk to these people. And I'm not talking about talking down to them on the internet. I've been talked down to by a number of Joe Biden people who told me that I was helping Trump because I was criticizing Joe Biden. And I argued with this one guy, Ari and I did, my podcast host, for days. And he's just in the bag, clearly not thinking. And I mean, I just did it as an experiment because I don't argue with people on the internet. I don't think it's productive. But yeah, I mean, you gotta befriend these people and say, okay, let's have a conversation. And there are people, I have libertarian ass libertarians on my Facebook that will creep onto my posts sometimes, and I try to keep it as cordial as possible. It's like, and you know, sometimes there are those, we have to disagree, we agree to disagree basically, and it sucks. And sometimes I'm like, I think that's an evil position. But if I just go, you're an evil piece of shit, I'm only crystallizing their fucking ideas. And they're thinking, oh, because I'm, because that's another American ideology, is that if people hate you, you're doing the right thing. And I think a lot of that comes from this WASPy mentality of, like, you know, in the Bible, like, they will hate you, you know, you'll be hated. And so people just think, oh, if people fucking shit on me, then I'm clearly doing the right thing, which obviously is asinine, but I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah. And you know what? You know this. Definitely. Mm-hmm. You know this as well as I know this. American libertarianism is a special kind of libertarianism. Mm-hmm. Like it is different from the rest of the world and the historical, you know, libertarianism.
Yep.
And I've really been thinking about it, and it's super interesting because I feel like the American libertarian is so appealing to many Americans because it fits into that, like, ideal that American men especially, like, want to believe about themselves. You know, like, just leave me alone and I'll take care of myself because I'm a self-reliant guy with my two-car garage in the suburbs and my grill and stuff. But it's like, are you really? Like, because I'm just going to say this, like, I casually prep, you know, like, in my garage, I got a whole bunch of stuff, and I, you know, ham radio, and I try to be as self-sufficient as I can for practical purposes, like natural disasters and stuff. And I know a lot of these, like, libertarian guys that you know, once again, have that, like, you know, my guns, my dog, and my cabin in the woods mentality.
Yeah.
And it's like, but dude, like, you can't even, like, do the simplest stuff. Like, what do you mean? Like, you more than anybody need, like, and benefit from, like, collective issues and like the social fabric that we've built for all of us. You know what I mean? And why I think it's I think that the like a case study of the American libertarian is somebody that could either be, you know, on the right end of the spectrum or the left end of the spectrum, but they are, I don't know if you want to say disgusted or whatever. They're turned off by like the establishment politics of either whatever side it is, right? And so they look in a different direction, and libertarian pops up, and it seems simple enough, you know. I think most people understand it as like government bad, you know, iPhones and markets good, and they solve everything, and that's all you need to understand, right? And I really just think that a lot of libertarians, one, either just have a filter in their brain that just like blocks out contradictions. Like they just don't receive contradictory information. So they just can't understand like how their shit doesn't make any fucking sense. It's just too appealing to turn down, you know? It's not manly or masculine or cool or whatever to be like, yay, social safety nets, awesome. You know, public services, awesome. Nationalizing certain key industries that we've collectively deemed should not have a profit motive and should be, you know, utilized for their use value as opposed to their profit value. Yay. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And here's like one last point I want to make is I really think that like if anybody's listening and they listen to this podcast because their politics are aligned with ours, I just want to say that I really truly believe that at this current time in America, like how we break through barriers is a conversation about healthcare. Healthcare is nonpartisan. It is the most like humanizing thing that you know that can bring us all together for a common goal, because you know, Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, fucking communist, whatever. Like, we all want to be taken care of when we're sick. We all want to be well and not ill. You know what I mean? And it's a really easy thing because, like, you just have to, like, shed off all of this, these preconceived ideas about the way things have to be or something. Like, well, you have insurance, and insurance is, mandated from the heavens, and we just have to keep it because you know, why the fuck ever? But like, no, you don't. I have really good like union insurance, right? And I still have premiums and deductibles and copays and all that shit. And it's like, when what is it, like 74% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck or whatever it is, you know, 70 something probably percent more of Americans now. Are living exactly so many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, I think it was like 3/4 of Americans can't afford a $400 emergency, all these things. And I'm in the same boat. You know, I have a little bit of a savings. You know, I'm more financially secure than I think a lot of other people my age, but I'm still barely getting by. And you know, just to be like completely candid, like I lay in bed every night and like, I got some weird stuff going on with my heart. Like sometimes like I just get these really random chest pains, like when I stand up or something. Like I'm sure that I have some sort of like, you know, version of heart disease or something. And then I was, you know, telling Chastity the other day, like a lot of times, like the ends of my toes are just numb all the time. And like sometimes my fingertips go numb. So I'm like, I got some sort of weird blood heart circulation thing going on, probably pre-diabetic, right? Because it's just, you know, the way we do things.
The American diet,
But like a 29-year-old, you know, I want to go and get that checked out. And I don't want to go and get it checked out and be like, I can't fucking afford to, you know? Like, it's just, it doesn't make sense. Like, when people are sick, you fucking take care of them. What Jesus would do, man. You know, Jesus wouldn't fucking ask to see your Blue Cross Blue Shield card. No, man. When people are sick, you take care of them. You know, when people are unwell or struggling, you take care of them. Like that's like, what else is there for us to do on this earth other than take care of each other? You know.
I think that's what it's got to be. Is it, again, back to my messaging point, I think we have to get to a point where we can turn, because I agree your point earlier about, you know, this collectivism and this working together is not, you know, necessarily manly, but I think that you can get people on an American argument. We want to have the best healthcare. We're number one in the world. Well, right now we're not healthcare. We lead the world, the quote unquote developed world, however you want to, you know, that comes with its own stigmas and stuff. But we lead these countries in the most, like, infant mortality. We lead it in, you know, things like, you know, mothers dying when they're giving birth. The fact that we have trillions of dollars in medical debt, student debt, credit card debt. Like, we're not leading the world anymore, and we're falling behind. And a lot of that is because we don't take care of each other. And it's not about charities and things like that, because it's not going to work. A lot of those charities, and this is how you have to do it, is you have to do it from a populist mentality and show that look at, you know, Trump's charity. It's not just him, man. There are a lot of charities that are absolute bullshit and only used, granted, they give money. That's good. Yeah, cool. But you know how that money would be used better? Is cancel your fucking charity. We're going to tax that money from you, and we're going to fucking redistribute it to people that fucking need it. And we're actually going to raise all boats, instead of this trickle-down economics where the rich have continued to gain more and more wealth and get their taxes cut over and over again and just piss little droplets on our head so they can keep us just above starving so we can go work at their fucking Amazon plant.
Yeah, and I really, like, sometimes this is the thing that gets me, like, so frustrated, and to where, like, I don't have a lot of, like, compassion left in me. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
And it sucks, and I wish it was different, but it's where I'm at. And so, like, when I sometimes I just look at people, especially, like, people that are opposed to, like, a wealth tax.
Right.
And then, you know, like, oh, why are you opposed to a wealth tax? And they, like, verbatim say, like, word for word, just the same fucking talking points
that they get
from cable news and some hack economist, you know, Larry Kudlow type that goes up there and just spouts bullshit. And then they say, like, the exact same thing word for word. It's like, listen, bud, I'm not an economist. I wouldn't even say that I understand economics to an outstanding degree, right? But I dabble. And it doesn't take a degree in economics to understand it. This is bullshit. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? How do you not understand, like, you pay this much in taxes. Yeah. You make $45,000 a year. Somebody that makes $15 million a year pays this much in taxes, okay?
Google pays zero.
They're not a fucking job creator. They're not a job creator. They don't own a company or anything. They just inherited their wealth, or they want it playing fucking poker or whatever. It's just the way the fucking tax code is written, okay? There's no, like, if you make $15, $50 million a year and you're a business owner providing jobs or whatever, then there's a clause, like, you don't have to pay taxes. But everyone else, you know, it's just a fucking random rich person. You have to pay taxes. How do you not fucking see that that these people, you know, like, have these legislators and these people that write the tax code in their back pocket, and they have them write laws that benefit them and push all of the fucking, you know, burden onto you, okay? Yeah. And what do you not understand about, like, there's a lot of people that make $45,000 a year and they pay a fuck ton in taxes. There's not a whole lot of people that make, you know, that are 100 millionaires, okay?
You could
literally check my math, okay? I'm not positive on this, but I think that it's somewhere close to being true. You probably, like, everyone that makes, like, below $45,000 a year, you probably could lower their tax rate, like, the amount that they're taxed, to the top marginal tax rate for 100 millionaires, right? And then you could reverse it, just make them pay what the people that are making $45,000, and everything would even out. Like, you could still fund all the same programs and everything that we have now. It's just, you immediately improve the lives of a lot of people that are making $45,000 a year, and people that are 100 millionaires have to pay more in taxes, and they have 8 yachts instead of 10, and who the fuck cares, because fuck them. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I mean,
eight
yachts instead of 10 is a pretty rough thing that you're putting on people. And, you know, like, it was something like 40% of Americans right now are like housing insecure and shit like that. It's pretty tough, but I mean, to your point,
that's what I'm saying. And I'm sorry. I just want to go on this for 1 second because I'm fucking heated. I'm awake. Hell now. Yeah. Okay. I'm woken up and it really, really, cause you know me, you know, my passion and everything.
Yeah.
And one of the things that really, 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 really gets me is America and Americans' relationship with labor. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Boy, we really got to fucking come around to like understanding what, because first of all, everyone that has ever known, all through, you know, spent 3 years in the car business, started at the bottom all the way up to, you know, one of the highest paying positions in construction. Like, everybody says, like, you know, like, Seth is a hard worker, dude. He's got a good work ethic. Mm. Like, he's a really good worker.
Right.
Which is true. And I really try to be that. Also, I fucking hate work. I don't want to work. I don't ever want to work.
Hell yeah.
What's the thing that people always say? Like, I want fully automated luxury communism. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. I don't want to. I want robots to do all my shit so that I can sit at home and jerk off and read and learn how to make bread. Like, that's what I want to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And especially now with like the dynamic of like the PMC and the gig economy and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how do we define work? Well, how I define work is doing something for probably 40 hours a week that like benefits society in some way, shape or form. Right. And so it's always frustrating to me how people look down on like certain aspects of our society, like service industry or grocery or like typically the lower paying job, the more like disdain people look down their nose, right? And it's like, you tell me that I'm a McDonald's worker, like McDonald's workers don't work hard. You tell me that an Amazon warehouse worker doesn't work hard. You know, I deserve $80 billion because I fucking work hard. No, you fucking don't.
Hell yeah.
Like an Amazon warehouse worker. Hey, you know what? Also, I'm not going to complain because I, you know, organized labor. Like, I'm very happy with what I receive in compensation for me selling my body for an hourly wage, right?
Right.
But here's the thing. I make, you know, decent, like middle class income is what I'll say. But I fucking work hard, okay? My knees and back, toast, done. Like, I literally, you know, rod, grind concrete, pork. Like, it's a fucking labor. But also, guess what? It's not just like manual labor, shoveling, you know? Like, there's a lot of science and a lot of, like, knowledge to be, like, proficient at concrete. There's, like, additives and chloride and, like, all these different elements. There's a lot of science to it. There's
math.
So like you really have to like know your shit. Like people get like 4-year degrees in like you know, like construction management with a specialty in concrete and stuff like that. And if you like reach the pinnacle of like concrete work, right, you might make like $150,000 a year, which is great. But it's like, why does somebody that like runs a sports analytics company, you know, make like a couple million a year? Well, exactly. I work hard. Come on, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, like, it's fucking ridiculous. While Amazon and Google are paying zero net negative tax, not even zero net negative tax. Think about that. You're not. They talk about welfare queens. Those are the biggest fucking welfare queens on the planet. And I think this is another thing that people have to get wrap their heads around, especially people who are ostensibly on the left, is that you have to realize that these people who you're fucking shitting on and calling like, you know, dumb rednecks and stuff, are sometimes doing the same job that you're doing, or they're doing farming. And it's like, okay, you think that they're dumb? Like, they're not dumb. Maybe when it comes to politics, some of these people are backwards or not informed. That might be true. But to call them dumb is class treason almost. Because you go work on a farm. I can't drive a fucking combine. I know a lot of fucking farmers. I know a lot of fucking hillbillies that are mechanics and shit. Those motherfuckers can take apart a fucking carburetor with their eyes blindfolded. Like, you cannot tell me that person is stupid. That person is uninformed, again, maybe, on politics. But that's sometimes, and we talk about, you know, personal responsibility. Some of that is their fault, but some of it's not. It's their environment and things like that. And if you want to talk about how you're going to organize and things like that, then you have a responsibility to change that person's mind and do it in a fucking way that's respectful and friendly. But just shitting on, you know, the other people, that's exactly what these fucking overlords that we have want you to do. because they love it when we fucking fight. Because then they get to keep all those fucking benefits, man. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like that until people realize that, hey, yeah, we're going to have fights and we're going to disagree and we're going to have arguments. But we're, and this is not me saying, like, you know, all the memes right now are like, either like we all need to come together and like be friends. And some of that's ridiculous because like I'm not going to be fucking friends with a person who's like an out and out fucking KKK member. It's just not going to happen. But at the same time, someone who has, I have, you know, friends or people that I talk to regularly that have fucked up beliefs, or beliefs that I think are incorrect. Absolutely. But I'm still trying to pull them along. It doesn't mean that I'm going to, you know, support their beliefs and put them out there. That's why I don't have them on the fucking podcast. But we have a quiet, cool, calm discussions over the internet or in person. And I try to change their beliefs. And that's what it's about. I mean, it sounds fucking corny, you know, the marketplace of ideas and shit. But when it's true, it can make a fucking difference. But just shitting on your fucking class equals is not gonna change this stuff. They're not the fucking problem, is my point.
and let's talk about class politics here for a second, because
hell yeah, brother.
Here's it's. I'll tell you, dude, like, being on the left is so fucking hard. It really is. Like, I'm just trying to figure shit out, right? And, like, figure out what I believe and, like, what. And, like, it's so tough because, like, man, you say the wrong thing one time, like, people, you're like, you're fucking donezo, brother, you know?
Yep.
And I hate that, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know. Well, here's what I'm saying. I probably, people could probably call me a class reductionist and fuck, whatever, okay?
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. You only have so much, like, bandwidth, right?
Right.
You know, some of the best advice that I ever got was pretty much someone told me, like, look, when this is your politics, pretty much, like, the reason you arrived here is because you have a real hard time accepting things that, like, are unjust and you know, not the way it should be. And there's a lot of that in the world. And if you try to focus on fixing everything that's unjust or everything that is not the way it ought to be, you're going to end up just constantly spinning your wheels. Like, you have to, like, specialize. It's almost like picking a major, right? Like, and so that's why I picked out, you know, like, okay, well, what's really important to me? Like, okay, like, labor issues, you know, economics, things like that. And the things that I've kind of had to let go a little bit of is, like, I'll be honest, like, I'm not great with, like, the gender stuff. I have all the good intentions in the world, right? Like, I want to do good. I want to do the right thing, right? But, you know, there's probably some times where I, like, you know, misgender somebody, or I don't say the politically correct term. And when it happens, you know, like, people respectfully call me out on it, and I apologize, and I try to do better, right?
Yep.
But you just can't be, anyways.
You can't be fucking perfect, man. No one can be perfect. Exactly. That's the thing.
Exactly.
We're not going to be perfect. We have to be forgiving and you know, have mercy for other people. And I think that goes both ways. And I don't think that, you know, there's a line to that. I mean, I'm, you know, if my friend is, like, liberally using the N-word, and then I say, hey, man, that's not cool. And they're like, no, it's okay. And then they try to, you know, explain why it's okay to me. We might have that conversation, but, you know, if they're not willing to stop doing that, we might not be friends anymore, you know? There are lines to that, but, yeah, we can't. If you're expecting everyone to be perfect, especially these people that, are working fucking, I worked two jobs in university and went to school full-time, like, people are fucking busy, man. They don't have time to be perfect on all these issues. We should try. We should always strive for perfect. But you can't destroy, you know, you can't lose the forest for the trees in the fact that we need to progress. As long as we're progressing, I don't think we're progressing fast enough, but we still have to try to keep moving forward. And if we're going to just break it all down because it's not perfect, then we're fucked.
Yeah, and that kind of touches a little bit on what you were talking about earlier with, like, you know, politics be policy and everything, because I get, or here's what, you know, the Rust Belt, like, you know, Les Schwab employee or whatever, like, how can you reach somebody like that? Like, are you more inclined to reach somebody like that having a conversation about healthcare or having a conversation about, like, hey man, like your coveralls are pretty, you know, covered in grease and your hands are looking pretty busted there. You've been working hard, buddy, haven't you? Don't you think you maybe deserve a little bit more money? Don't you think you maybe deserve a little bit of healthcare as a treat, right? Like, do you think that is gonna resonate with him, or like just full on fucking banshee screeching woke scolds at him? You know, about like, you know, like what's more likely to reach that person? Because you gotta play, you gotta. I hate that I'm saying this, but you have to meet people where they are. Like, it's true. Like, you just can't live. You can't live in the world that you want to live in. Like, you have to live in the world that the rest of us live in. And so sometimes that means, and that's why people, I guess, call me a class reductionist, because it's like, yes, a lot of, like, so many of these things are important, but when it comes down to, like, as you said, like, messaging, you have to do what's effective, okay? So, like, if you have, like, an uncle or whatever, right, that is a certain type, you are going to reach him by talking about, like, his material conditions and how they can improve. You're not going to reach him by, you know, being the blue-haired, you know, woke scold, you know, screaming at him about Simone de Beauvoir, you know, like, that's not going to reach him. That's not going to resonate with him. And if you want to proselytize and feel good about yourself, go ahead and do that. But if you want to, like, win hearts and minds and steer this country in a better direction, then you got to, like, you got to be pragmatic. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in high school, we were, you know, you and I were both, like, you know, I don't know what you want to describe it, like, punk kids, hardcore kids, like, just, I had long fucking hippie hair and wore fucking tight jeans, but I have a bunch of friends that were fucking hillbillies and shit, and that's because I knew, you know, what would, for lack of a better word, would trigger them, you know, and when I have conversations with those types of people, even today, the first things I'm not in favor of necessarily banning guns in the United States, because I think it's impossible. And I don't even know if that's a good idea. But I do have some pretty strong thoughts on that we should reform our gun laws and how we should be tighter on them. But that's not the first thing I would fucking talk about those people, because their guns are not, they're not getting in fucking shootings and stuff. They're using them to hunt for the most part, or for home protection, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like 80% of the NRA is, like, in favor of stricter gun
control
measures.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're in favor of universal background checks. I think it was 80 or 90%. So it's, but you don't. That's not where you breach the subject. Yeah, maybe you get there eventually, but you broach the subject exactly what you're saying on something that they can accept. You know, man, you're working your ass off. You hate your boss, right? Don't you think we should be getting paid more? This is fucking bullshit, right? Yeah, let's make them pay us more. Because I'll tell you another thing, hillbillies, real hillbillies. Not these fucking people that masquerade as them in fucking, you know, suburban cities. They hate the fucking police. They think weed should be legalized, and they fucking hate the police. So you can get them on that. You can say, isn't it? But this is the thing. When you only say it's, you know, it's only, and it's true. Black people, brown people, you know, people of color are disproportionately killed by the police. And I think that should be said. But you do have to know your audience, okay? So there are people that I know. I don't say, look at all these black people, you know, I don't, like, hashtag Black Lives Matter at them. And I'm a virulent supporter of Black Lives Matter. You have to, you have to get there first with, fuck these cops, man. They're fucking killing us. They're bothering us. They're fucking with us over our, you know, our personal substances and what we put into our fucking bodies. Isn't that bullshit? Why don't we fucking reform the police? Why don't we make them get the fuck out of our, you know, our business? That goes to the libertarian ideology as well. But that's why messenger, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all I get. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why, like, I remember when fucking, what's his name? Bundy.
Cliven Bundy and...
Ammon, right?
Ammon Bundy, yeah.
That's why, like, everybody's fucking heads exploded when he came out, like, in support of defunding the police, and people just people like, but... You're wearing a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? It's like their brains can't fucking process somebody that is, like, ideologically consistent, you know? Because most people, you're a libertarian, you're Gadsden flag on your truck and everything, support the police. Like, you don't understand your ideology. okay, you want a stateless, you know, like ANCAP society, but no, I want police. I don't want a state, but I want police.
Yeah.
So you don't want a state.
And I don't want big government. I hate big government.
The state.
Yeah, exactly. I hate big government, but I want a huge fucking military. It's ideologically inconsistent.
No, you just want people to know that you're a tough guy. That's all it fucking is.
Amen.
Okay, that's all it is. That's why you fucking carry a knife in your pocket to show people, like, I'll stab somebody if whatever. That's why you crave, you know, independence and you're fucking libertarian. Like, just leave me alone and I'll fend for myself. You know, as you tweet from the Jack in the Box drive-through. You know, and you want to keep the military and the police and all those things, right? But here, I wanted to circle back to class dynamics because I wanted to make a point that I was thinking about. And as usual, I don't know if this is going to come off as like super harsh or paint me in a bad light, but it's just, you know, the truth. Mm. I didn't, you know, I think most people, fuck, what am I trying to say? I wasn't born here ideologically.
Right.
Like, I went through, a life before this, and I had thoughts that are contradictory to what I believe now. Yeah. And I held views and opinions that, like, I look back on with shame now, you know? Like, that's just being honest. And so here's what I want to say. Here's what I try to tell people to get them to understand like class dynamics a little bit.
Mm.
So like if you look at like just some like middle class, like suburban fucking whatever, right? Oh, it's perfect. Because do you remember that lady that they interviewed that like Trump supporter and they were asking her about like why she doesn't want, you know, why the whole like protect the suburbs and everything. Why she doesn't want low income housing.
I don't know if I saw that.
She just like said oh, you didn't see it?
I don't think so. Maybe I did. Go ahead.
Oh, dude, it's so fucking, oh, it's so terrible, but like tragic and hilarious. I don't know. So they're asking her like, why are you opposed to like low income housing coming into your neighborhoods and whatnot? And you can tell it's something that she has literally never thought of other than Trump said it. Good.
Yeah.
And so they're like, what? And she's like, I don't know. I guess it's just, they're not like the same as me. Oh my gosh. I know it sounds so bad when you say it out loud, but they're just like not in the same class as me. They don't have the same values and ideals. And it's like, as she's like saying it, she can understand like, oh fuck. There's like, this is inexcusable. Like I can't think of a way to say this that doesn't make me sound like a horrible person because you fucking rehearsed
this yet.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and it's also because exactly what you said. She has never had that thought before. But if people would push her on that, then there are people that close up and aren't going to have a conversation. There are people that they're irredeemable. Sometimes we refer to them on the show as TFGs. They're too far gone. You can't reach those people, and you have to let them go. But there are some people like that lady that goes, "Oh, I shouldn't be saying this." And you go, "Yes, that's right." And this is, and then you lead, you take them by the hand, you lead them down the path of where we need to go.
And that's somebody that'll get there eventually, because even in the interview, like, she didn't stop. She didn't say, like, actually, when I say it out loud, that's kind of fucked up. And, I changed my mind, you know, but they'll get there eventually, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully, because there's been sometimes where I've had conversations with people, and, like, you see the little glimmer of light in their eyes, right? And you're like, oh, they're kind of getting it. And then you see them post something, like, you know, the next day, with the same old bullshit, you're like, oh they're just choosing what they want to believe.
Well, it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, sometimes it takes. I mean, I was real conservative until I was about 15, 16 years old, and then you know I've swung the pendulum, you know, and now I feel like I've arrived at I'm always open to change, but I feel like I have a pretty core set of beliefs that I'm not going to switch on. You know, like taking care of people and stuff like that. You're not going to switch me on that. But I think people like that, like she knows that's fucked up, and she probably did go the next day and post some MAGA shit. But if her granddaughters or her friends that are more left push her every day on that stuff and have conversations and challenge that ideology, that's where you get the change. You don't get it from going, oh, you're a fucking bitch. Like, oh, you're a fucking class traitor. Because she's going to be like, I don't even know what the fuck that means, you know?
Yeah. And I think that what sparked me to want to say this is when we were talking about, classes and rich people paying taxes and whatnot.
Right.
And what I wanted to say was, like, so you look at, like, that lady, right, as an archetype of what I believe to be, like, just your average, like, MAGA. And there was a time in my life when I subconsciously, right, like, it's not something that you think about and, like, intentionally, synthesize into a belief or a thought. But there was a time in my life where I did view, where I had, like, my little middle class existence.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at people that live in those, like, impoverished communities, or you see somebody at, like, the store, like Walmart or something, and just how they're dressed and the way they're acting. And it's just like, oh, they're one of the poors. Right.
Right. Right.
And, like, so you can't deny that, like, there are classes, because you view yourself in one class.
Right.
Because there's another class below you. Right. So, like, you obviously inherently believe in classes.
Right.
So, but people have no problem accepting that. Even, mm-hmm. At least at a subconscious level, like, oh, I'm up here and all these people are down there. And, I don't know, does that mean that they're less important? Does that mean that their lives don't mean as much as mine? Mm. Probably, which is why they come to that conclusion.
Right.
And I just really wish that more people understood, like, okay, the way that you look at, like, all the way that you, 80 to 90,000 a year folks look at, like, all the 25 and 30,000 a year folks. Like, that's how the 300 and 400K a year folks look at all you 70 to 100,000 a year folks.
Yeah. And extrapolate, like, that out and think about how fucking millionaires and billionaires like Jeff Bezos look and look at us like fucking ants.
Exactly.
To be fucking,
like, I really, like,
ground up
human.
In the fucking, you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I just don't think that people have ever, like, connected those dots. That's why people go out, like, simping for Elon Musk and, like, and even, like, the petty bourgeoisie, like, people just don't understand, like, these people, like, they do not believe that you are the same as them. You are less than them.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if they won't admit it. And even if they've never consciously admitted it to themselves, just like how you never consciously admitted to yourself, like, oh, that those people, the poors, are less than me, right? But it's just like a thing that you intuit.
Yeah, it's a visual. It's often a visceral reaction that people have when they see that.
Exactly.
Kind of stuff.
Yes, exactly. I want more people to understand, like, the class dynamics of, like, just don't fool yourself into thinking that, like, most of these people give a fuck about you. Like, they don't, which is why I don't give a fuck about them.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about saying, like, tax those motherfuckers out of existence. I don't give a fuck about them. I give a fuck about, like, my health and my life. And, once again, it's scary because this is, like, kind of the way of thinking that leads to a lot of, like, workers' revolutions that ultimately end in disaster and just, like, sometimes genocide and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, you can't ignore the feeling of, like, working people, like, in a society being left out and feeling like I'm feeling, where I'm like, hey, man, like, your life is not more important than mine. Like, I understand, like, you contribute to society and everything, but guess what? So the fuck do I.
Yeah.
I do a lot for society, and I'm sick of, like, not being able to – I'm sick of life being so fucking precarious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, life should not be this fucking dangerous.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Look at where we are. Like, we've advanced society almost into oblivion.
Mm.
Like, there's no reason. Like, our technology has come horseshoe to where it's, like, going to destroy us now.
Yeah.
You know? And you think that we still have to, like, worry about, like, children being fucking hungry and people not being able to, like, get regular checkups and screen for, like, diseases that kill them later on. Hey, yachts are cool. Mansions are cool. But fuck you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there has to be a base level of support before this can even be acceptable. I mean, the fact that we're talking about, you know, like free school lunches and shit while, you know, people have, like you're saying, 9-10 yachts. And then, you know, like, I remember when the Betsy DeVos's yacht was, like, let go and, like, got damaged. And they were like, oh, that's so reprehensible. It's like, no, it's fucking not. No, it's not. And these people that talk about the different, like, we emphasize all the time, property damage is not the same thing, especially when it's someone who has so much wealth that you cannot fathom spending it in one fucking lifetime. It is not the same as killing another human being or even doing harm. And I think animals, I mean, Ari and I are both vegetarians. Abby's also vegetarian. We think that harming animals is also gets up there. I think killing a dog is worse than fucking putting C4 on someone's boat, and I'm not in favor of that, obviously. I don't think that we should, you know, I don't think that violence begets a lot of good right. You know, outcomes, which is what you're talking about. Like, I mean, one of my least favorite countries in this whole world, because they constantly threaten to invade my home in the country that I love and the country that I talk about and fight for every day, Taiwan, is China, communist China. But the thing is that's a mislabeling. They're not communist. They did a workers' revolution, but then what did? They ceded all the power to a small group of individuals, namely Mao Zedong, and that's what you get. So, yeah, it's got to be put in a way, but we can't. Like, I, you know, I'm guilty of it myself. I love making the, you know, the guillotine jokes and things like that. But it's like, I'm not really in favor. Right. I don't want any of these people to die. You know what I want them to do is I want to make sure that we decrease their wealth enough that the rest of us have at least a comfortable lifestyle. It would be so easy for Americans. Like, this is a point I was going to make earlier. You're talking about how you just want to relax. You know, you don't like, you work hard, but you don't want to work. Everyone in America could be working 20 hours a week easily, and people act like that's ridiculous. They thought a 40-hour work week was ridiculous just you know, a couple decades ago, you know, a century ago. They thought it was ridiculous. Women working was ridiculous. Women wearing pants was ridiculous. Men going out of the house without fucking hats on their head was ridiculous. So we need to get out of this mindset of it is the way it is because it is the way it is. It's not. We don't live anywhere near like we did 10, 20, 30 years ago. So stop living in the fucking past and realize that change is good. Not always, but we have to be careful about how we change. But we should not be afraid of change because we have generally been moving in the right direction. There are a lot of very fucked up things in the United States right now and around the world. But generally in the United States, we have been moving in the right direction. We don't have fucking slavery anymore, aside from the 13th Amendment. It's fair enough. We need to get rid of that as well. We need to get rid of private prisons. But we're moving that way, and we have to be careful, but we have to keep fighting for that. And we can't be scared into this status quoism where we just sit still because, like you said, people are fucking starving, and people want to talk about troops. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place right now, and I'll end with this. People talk about how they love the troops. People screamed at Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee. And I know you're a veteran. People want to scream about that shit. There are fucking 50,000 plus homeless veterans right now. There are veterans killing themselves every day because we don't have adequate mental health in this country. That's unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable because I actually want to support the troops. I want to fucking bring them home from these fucking endless wars. And I want to support them when they get back and give them not only physical care but mental care for free. I don't want them to fucking pay for it aside from if they're able to work, I want them to pay for it in their taxes just like I would.
I mean, absolutely. And I think that what you're talking about, I mean, you're literally just describing, you know, like conservatism versus, you know, progressivism, right? Yeah. Like people that are reluctant to change, they want to conserve tradition and the way things are, and then progressive people that say, let's try some new shit, right? Right. And that's really, you said something that really stuck with me because it's something I think about a lot. You know, it makes me feel better that even I remember one day I was watching TMBS and the late Michael Brooks said something. And he admitted sometimes he's like, I forget what exactly he was talking about, but he was like, it's kind of like that feeling that like little bit of doubt in the back of your mind where you think like, wait, these things that I'm advocating for, like my politics, like, man, I hope that it's right. Like, I hope that I'm not wrong about all this. Right. And like I think that is so important to keep in your back pocket as like, you know my politics and everything, and where I'm at is like, not only am I like, let's try this new shit, you know, but I'm slowly getting to the point where I'm like, hey, we're going to try this new shit. And if you keep stopping us, like you're about to get drugged through the streets.
Mm.
Like we're doing this, you know?
Right.
But I think it's so important to have in the back of your mind, like, hey, we're going to try this stuff. And if it starts looking like it's going south, like we got to like stop it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and on a bigger scale, this is something, and I'm just hashing out a thought here that I've barely had. Like, I was pulling into the driveway the other day, and I had this thought, kind of.
Yeah.
And so it's dangerous that I'm trying to, like, flesh it out now, you know, on the podcast. But stick with me. Let's see if we can get through this. I have a feeling that a lot of people just don't fully understand, like, how fragile all this is.
Mm.
You know, like, how easily... And how, like, little things that you don't think are important can have, like, really big consequences. Like, because think about what just happened, okay? And it's not over, right?
Right.
But it looks like, you know, Joseph Robinette Biden is going to be the next president. And then, knock on wood, we've hopefully, emerged from the forest of potential fascism and a dark, path. It looks like,
yep.
But how did we get there? Like, how did all this happen? Yep. You know? And it's like, you're a history major, right?
Yep.
So like, man. I'm sure that you've like read throughout, you read about all these empires falling and all these like, nations, like all over the world currently. There's like civil wars and revolutions, like right now, today, like all over the world, like stuff is happening like that. And so for it to become so like close in America, it's just something that we haven't really experienced in a long time, like some sort of like dramatic political or cultural, historical event.
Yeah.
And trying to get my shit together here, but like you look at what just happened, like in my opinion, we very, very narrowly escaped like potentially like horrific future chapter of American history. And like I have a feeling like it could have went south very quickly,
easily, yeah,
and in a very dramatic way. And that's what I mean by like all these things that I want, right? Like maybe we start nationalizing some key industries and we, I'm a reformist, I would say. Like I believe in the electoral process and I believe in winning hearts and minds and getting people all on the same page and implementing and engineering the future we want together, rather than some sort of like violent conflict or revolution or something like that, right? That's just where I'm at.
Yeah.
Even though all my rhetoric is like dragging politicians through the streets and stuff. That's just for funsies.
Right.
So like we start implementing these things and like it's really important to like just not be so sure of yourself. Like if things start looking a certain way, like you got to pull the plug,
That's right.
I think that we can figure all this out together, without, because you look at like a lot of left-wing political projects, it's just objectively true. A lot of left-wing political projects throughout history, throughout the globe, end in, abject horror.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just human nature, things go south and so, and it's not just left wing, like obviously, there's been a lot of like radical right wing atrocities too.
Yeah. So
that's what I mean. Any sort of like dramatic political, cultural, societal shift has the potential for devastating consequences. And I think it's just really important to always keep that in the back of your mind, to like keep an ever watchful eye over what's going on, even if you're ideologically inclined to believe that it's good and will always be good.
Absolutely. And I think people also need to keep in mind that a lot of these things that, you know, quote unquote, you know, whatever you want to fucking put the label on it, but people like us who are in favor of, you know, labor politics, what we're pushing for is not radical. I live in Taiwan, basically has the same population size as Florida, stuffed into a tiny little island with a decent economy, but not anywhere close to the U.S. We don't have a huge economy. We have a nationalized healthcare system, and it's fucking wonderful. It's not radical. People do it all the fucking time. Every modernized nation has Medicare for All, or, you know, in one form or another. And some of the, we can argue about the details of that, but, you know, we also don't have guns in Taiwan. So gun reform is not insane. And again, this is not the thing I would lead with for everyone, but there's so many things that are just not radical. It's not radical to say that people shouldn't profit off of healthcare or putting people in prison. That seems like the most rational thought I've ever thought of. And yeah, I think your point is well taken. We, as we're doing and as we're making these shifts, we should be careful. We should also take evidence from other places. We can't call ourselves the greatest nation on earth and not take evidence from other places. It's illogical. People have done it. They have better health outcomes. They pay less. Medicare for All costs less. And that's the one I harp on all the time because I think it's the easiest to convince people with. There are a number of other things. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, and like we said, drugs won the war on drugs, and you can look at this fucking this election to look at it. Joe Biden loses in Florida. Weed gets legalized in Florida, or $15 minimum wage in that case. But in a number of states, weed just got legalized or passed for medical use. We just talked about it. You know, psilocybin mushrooms are getting passed in the U.S. And there, I think, you know, we need to be careful with substances we put in our body. Exactly to your point, we should watch it and we should study it deeply. I think we should always be paying attention to that. We should put the best people in charge for that. I would argue that reality stars and people that have lived their whole lives as politicians and done nothing else is not a good idea. Going back to Taiwan, one of the reasons why we dealt with the pandemic pretty fucking well is because the guy that was vice president at the time was a scientist. He wasn't a politician. He was literally a fucking virologist. So when we had this pandemic, one, we didn't trust China because they fucked us over with SARS in Taiwan. But we, you know, we used past evidence and we used what we have learned and we looked at, you know, other nations and we made decisions and it did well. And I'm saying we, obviously using the royal we, because I didn't do shit. But I'm very glad that I was fucking here, you know, because there were a lot of smart decisions made. And the U.S. needs to move along the same path, because otherwise we're going to, you know, status quo is not going to get us anything but what we've already have, which is tons of people dying, tons of people feeling insecure, tons of homeless people, especially, like we said earlier, homeless veterans, which is unacceptable.
I really think that a lot of it comes down to and it's always tough for me because I, you know, in theory, like, I always want to believe that, like, we just need, you know, better public education and everything. And it's true, like, we do. But when I think about, like, growing up, you know, I think Fall City Public Schools, like, it was pretty decent school, you know. That's just how I feel, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
Especially for, like, the town and everything, you know, how we live.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a pretty decent school. And I remember a lot of the things that I'm, like, learning now and I'm super interested in, like, it was at least glossed over in school, but I just, like, didn't fucking want anything to do with it, you know? Like, so a part of me is almost like, yeah, like, you know, you can beef up public education and everything, but I'm just not so sure that that will, like, solve a lot of the problems of, like, no matter how good of a public education you got, I don't know if that would solve the contradictory nature of somebody like in Oregon identifying themselves as a libertarian with the Gadsden flag on their truck and their AR-15 strapped in downtown Portland, and they're protesting, you know, that they just made all recreational drugs legal, you know. And it's like, do you understand your ideology, or are you just like, well, my ideology is I'm a tough guy and libertarians are the tough guys, and I just have to be like a right-wing tough guy. Ideology doesn't matter. What are you talking about? Like, I don't need theory. No, I just want to be a tough guy, you know?
Yeah, I think teaching critical.
Drugs are bad, hippies bad, and, you know, I'm good.
Yeah, I think teaching critical thinking is a big part of that, but also that's teaching critical thinking is very difficult, and some of that originates in the home. But also, yeah, I think that you just have to make sure that people are pushed in the right direction. That's pretty platitude-y, but critical thinking, I do think, is a big important part of that. But yeah, I don't think education solves all of it. To react to your point, it definitely doesn't. Almost certainly, because you can be super educated. I mean, look at our fucking ruling class, man. They're insanely educated at, like, you know, the quote unquote best universities, but it doesn't make a difference because they just learn class politics and how to manipulate right. people, you know. So and they make right. their connections and stuff. So yeah. I don't think that is the only answer. It has to be multifaceted. We just have to look at, like I said earlier, evidence, man. Evidence is a big part of it. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to just be like, you know, this is the right thing. But I think also a lot of politics in the United States is emotional. And I think you can appeal to people's emotions, in that way. I mean, like what you were talking about with this, you know, these people protesting against, like, drug legalization, you know, you say, yeah, look at your ideology. I mean, you obviously don't do it, you know, at the time when they're brandishing an AR-15 and in fucking broad daylight, you know, but, you know, you do it another time.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah, exactly. That sort of escalation, I don't think serves anyone's interest. But having a discussion and things like that. I mean, that's part of what I try to do on the podcast, and I have been meaning to have, like, someone who's a little bit more libertarian minded on the podcast, but it's hard to find people to come on the podcast in general, let alone people that disagree and feel like they're gonna get fucking dogpiled on. But I think conversations in private are gonna make a big difference for that.
You mentioned platitudes, right? And I'm just curious.
Yep.
During the campaign, or during the primaries, and even after now, fucking Pete Buttigieg got a lot of shit for his, like, platitudes and, like, people saying that, like, nothing he said made sense. It's just a mishmash of, like, you know, patriotic, you know, rhetoric or whatever. But I never found that to be the case. Like, a lot of times I would read, you know, things he wrote or mm-hmm. listen to things he said that people would be like, what is this? It's just platitudes. But, like, in my mind, I'm like, no, I get what he's saying. It's just, it's a super, like, pretentious, you know, way to say it. But, like, I remember that thing that everybody was making memes about where he said something like, you know, the shape of our democracy is the issue that affects all the other issues or something like that. And people were like, does anyone know what this means? Like, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I get what he's saying. He's saying that, like, you know, you have to have a democracy so that you guys can, like, you know, figure out the best way to move forward together. Like, if you don't have a democracy, then, you know, you can't ever get what you want because it's just always going to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel you. I do think that he was a little bit platitude-y. I do think that I get your point that in some cases...
1,000%, but it's not like he's not making sense. You know?
Right, yeah. I can agree with that. I think that also what you said, like being pretentious, I think either goes over a lot of Americans' head or makes them angry, which I feel that. I resonate with that. Yeah, so I think that politicians definitely have to get away from that. I definitely made a lot of fun of Pete Buttigieg. And I also just think that he's not a great politician. Or at least not his policies aren't good, is what I should say. I shouldn't say he's not a good politician, because I think he was a good politician in some ways. He convinced a lot of people because he fits the mold. You know, he speaks so many languages and blah, 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 blah.
Obama.
exactly. He's the albino Obama. So... But yeah, I do think that Yeah, that's that kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Like people like to pile on to people, and people like to jump on bandwagons, and instead of thinking critically about these things and picking apart, you know, the minutia of these things. And you know, that's understandable. People's times are limited, but yeah, I don't have a lot of love for old Mayor Pete, but yeah, I agree with you. There is some. Some of it gets a little bit ridiculous when people are just, because, you know, not to extend this too long, but is people get on these tangents where they're online and they fall into these memes, you know, where they're just like, okay, everyone's, you know, tweeting about this, or like, I saw someone that I like that said this thing, so I'm gonna reach for it, and they start reaching too far, and then we're not getting anywhere. Then it's just people trying to search for, you know, likes and pats on the back and things like that, as opposed to like actually dissecting what people are saying. And that, you know, that goes to what we've been talking about this whole time with, you know, it's easy to shit on the hillbilly, or it's easy to shit on, you know, whatever person, but it's probably more useful to take what they're saying and, you know, pick it apart. And one, if it's a normal type person, a person that you should be in class solidarity with, have a conversation with them. And if it's a person who's in power, who doesn't give a shit about you, it's probably more important that you pick it apart first and then you fucking meme it later, you know? But
yeah,
it's situational, you know? Mm-hmm. All right, man. Yeah, we should probably wrap up. I would love to do this for another 4 fucking hours, and I have no doubt that both of us could, but we both got shit we gotta go do. So, man, I'm fucking so glad that we finally did this. We've been talking about it for forever. So let's do this again soon. Let's not make this a fucking, let's wait another multiple months. Maybe.
Well, I'll tell you what. I might be out of work this week. I might be on unemployment this week. I don't know. They haven't updated my schedule, and I just got out of class. So I don't know what it's going to be like, but if I am, and I'm just sitting around the house, you know, running out of rooms to vacuum, yeah, I'll hit you up, and we can do another, you know, in the morning or at night. At night is good. Night is good to podcast for me, but it's like when you wake up, it's like usually my like 8 or 8:30 or something. And by that time, it's like, I mean, no offense, like I really enjoy these podcasts, but mm-hmm. I just want to like smoke and hang out and go to bed. And it's kind of like,
I get it, buddy.
That's kind of like, yeah, what it was last night is like, I waited around all day. I'm like, oh, I got a podcast with JD. And then I just kind of had a shitty day. Like I, you know, had a good first date that I thought went well. And I guess I'm getting ghosted now. So I was just kind of in a bad, I was like, I just want to smoke. And so that's why I was like, hey man, I'll wake up early at like 7 and then do this. But I ended up like waking up at like 3 and now it's 5:40. But yeah, so either at night or in the morning, but we will definitely, here's my campaign promise. We can, and we must, podcast again before the week is over.
Hell yeah, I like that. The direction of our podcast is dictated by the winds of our sails, and that's how I feel about the whole thing. So let's fucking do it, man. This amazing how this timing works, because Ari will be very busy this week. He's got things to do, which I won't mention because I don't want to, you know, blow up his spot. But he's got stuff to do, so I should be pretty free this week. And I'm always fucking down to podcast. So yeah, we'll let us know, and we'll be back in the studio soon. But yeah, everyone out there listening, we fucking love you guys. Fuck with us on our socials and shit. Like, make sure you reach out to us, because we've been thinking about doing some more user-sponsored content with, you know, maybe some phone calls or whatever, but if you DM us or message us, we will definitely talk about your questions or concerns on pod. But we love you, and don't you motherfuckers forget that FCP's a da.